In Proverbs chapter 3, reading from verse 21 through 26, I did not tell Brother Abraham what we're studying tonight, but that fits appropriately with the message this evening. I'm titling it Confidence and Safety. Notice as we come here reading from verse 21 through 26, this is our sixth message in this chapter. Verse 21, My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, and thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Dear God, we come before thee again tonight, and we ask for thy blessings upon reading thy Holy Scripture. Lord, we ask that you speak to us. We ask, Lord, as we come to this section, that we'll truly realize thy presence and thy protection that you have over us. And Lord, we pray tonight all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Last week we were looking in verses 13 through verse 20, and we titled that Happy is the Man, dealing with wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14, For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared with her or unto her. Verse 21 through verse 26, we see here the promise of God's presence and God's protection over His people. In verse 21, He says, My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. In other words, we find that both of these, wisdom and sound discretion, or sound wisdom and discretion, that both are very valuable and will give us direction, safety, peace, and confidence. We've already seen this again last week in verses 13 through 19 and 20. Also, as we read in chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, He says, Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And also, in our very first message, or second message, in verses 1 through 7, we see the truth of this wisdom, understanding, and instruction. So in verse 21, He said, My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Sound wisdom, again, as we've already seen, we'll keep coming to this subject over and over. But He's basically talking about sound doctrine and the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word discretion, we've seen that in chapter 1, basically means advice or the counsel of the Lord. Notice He says in verse 21, Let not them depart from thine eyes. The Bible tells us in chapter 23, In chapter 23 and verse 23, says, Buy the truth and sell it not. So we know that truth can be bought and it can be sold. It said, Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So we're told in chapter 3 and verse 21, Let not them depart from thine eyes and keep sound wisdom and discretion. There's a number of scriptures that I'll give to you and make sure I have the right ones. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now listen to this. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them slip. Also in 2 John, we're told that there's some things that we're to hold on to. There's some things that can be lost. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14 and 15, he speaks of those when they stand before the Lord of either receiving rewards or either suffering loss. But in 2 John, in dealing with the doctrine of Christ, he speaks of those who are deceivers and try to destroy people's faith. Then he talks of the doctrine of Christ in verse 9. But in verse 8, he said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that is, which we have gained, but that we receive a full reward. So that means we could receive less than a full reward. So he says in verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. In other words, don't lose what we have gained. And he goes on to say, keep sound wisdom and discretion. To keep. We know that it is possible to lose sight of God's truth and God's ways. We know that. This verse and a multitude of other verses. So we're told in this verse that we are to keep something. We're to keep sound wisdom and discretion. In other words, we're to hold tightly to it. We're to retain it at all cost and never, ever let it go. Now, let me give you an example of that. I'm turning to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and actually this whole chapter and chapter 6 would teach us this same principle. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to pick the reading up in verse 7. And this is after, from verses 1 through 6, he's speaking about God's wisdom, and actually in verse 6, and understanding. He's speaking in verse 1 about the Lord's statutes and judgments. He says in verse 2, we're not to add unto the word that God has commanded, and neither are we to diminish from it. But we are to keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you. Now notice in verse 7, beginning here, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Now notice the warning. He said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He continues, by the way, throughout this chapter, speaking of this, that we never forget what God has shown us. Notice in chapter 6, very easy to forget, very easy to lose sight of these things. In chapter 6, I want to come down to verse 12. In this chapter also, he begins in verse 1 with the commandments, the statutes and judgments which the Lord had given to them, and He commanded them to believe them and keep them and also teach them to others. He said that the fear of the Lord should be in them. In verse 2, they're to keep the commandments and teach these commandments to your sons and your sons' sons. He speaks of loving the Lord in verse 5 with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. Again in verse 6 and 7, and 8, again, teaching diligently these things unto thy children. Now come down with me to verse 12. He also says that they're going into a land that they did not purchase themselves. They're going into a land with houses already built and vineyards and so forth. Then he said in verse 12, and he says, when you get in this land and you're blessed and you're full, you've eaten and you're full, last part of verse 11. Then verse 12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and shall serve him and shall swear by his name. In other words, to confess him alone as God. So this warning is in the Old Testament and this warning is in the New Testament. And again, while we're here close, in Joshua, in the book of Joshua in chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, I'm reading two verses, very familiar verses. He says in verse 7 and verse 8, this is what the Lord tells Joshua. He's taking the place of Moses. And he said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Coming back to our text in Proverbs, he says here in verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, but keep sound wisdom and discretion. In verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. In other words, they're going to be life. They bring life to the soul. They give life. And also grace unto the neck, like an ornament. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we are to adorn the doctrine of God. We're to wear it. We're to put it on. We're to dress up in the doctrines of the Lord. They're to be precious to us. Now notice as we come to verse 23, in verse 23, he says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Now these are promises. In life or in death, the Lord has promised to give us safety. He's promised to keep our foot from even stumbling. Now, this thought here, to walk in thy way safely, has the ideal of walking without danger. In other words, he speaks of our protection. Notice in chapter 10. In chapter 10, reading in verse 9, chapter 10 and verse 9, said, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. In other words, shall be found out. Notice back with me in chapter 4, in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he says in this passage, he says, 11 and 12, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Straitened means to narrow. In other words, wisdom would allow the wise man a number of places to go that would be closed to an ignorant man. So God is, again, the promise of being with us. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 21, we sing this psalm. Psalms 121. I'm just going to read the whole psalm. And if you're taking notes, Philippians 4, 7, the peace of God shall keep our hearts and minds. As we trust in Him, put our faith in Him, He says that the peace of God shall keep our hearts and minds. In Matthew 24, verses 15 through about verse 20, the Bible speaks of the abomination of desolation. And basically those in the first century that would keep God's word, they would be delivered from the tribulation and wrath that would come that we know in AD 70 by Titus and the Roman army. What is interesting is that those who believe the Word of God, He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, flee. He talks about their flight, hopefully it's not on the Sabbath. He gives some details there. Well, again, according to history, some of the historians, that not one Christian died in Jerusalem when Titus and the Roman army destroyed that city and the sanctuary. Now, the wars between the Romans and the Jews were quite long and bloody. It wasn't just that one battle. That one battle stands out because the Lord prophesied that His army in Matthew 22 would destroy that city and that temple. But the wars were quite lengthy, and there are many other places in Judea and places like that that were wiped out. But what is interesting, those in the city of Jerusalem, the Lord said, when you see this, listen to my word, when you see this, you flee. You don't even worry about taking anything. You just get out of town. And again, it appears that not one believer, one true believer, perished in that. You know who perished in that? The patriots of the day. The zealots. Those who said, no, we're going to fight against the Roman army. We're going to defend Jerusalem. This is God's city, etc., etc. They perished. Over 1 million died. About 200,000 carried into slavery. But not one Christian was supposed to have perished in that because they believed the Word. Can you imagine owning land and owning a house and a bank account and all these things? And the Lord said, now when you see this, you immediately flee and you'll be saved. You'll be delivered. Your life will be saved. And so they walked off and left everything, but God blessed them. And God used them in a mighty way. Now notice as we come here to Psalms 121, He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. This is what we're talking about now in Proverbs. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Aren't you glad of that? When we're asleep, the Lord's not asleep. And He said, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is promise of God. He said, well, one day we're going to die. Yes, this promise is in life or death, in life or death. Turn back with me, please, to our text in Proverbs, chapter 3. We're coming now to let's read verse 23 again. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Now notice in verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. That's a promise of the Lord. Here's a few verses that you can jot down in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs 6. Leviticus chapter 26. We have these words. I'm reading just one verse. Reading verse 6. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I'll rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. What this is sort of like Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is the blessings of obedience, when they would be obedient to the Lord. Also in Ecclesiastes, jot this down as well, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, And in verse 12, said, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. In other words, the burdens of cares of losing this or losing that will keep a man awake. But we find that the laboring man, the man's trusting the Lord, walking with the Lord, he's able to sleep. Lay down and go to sleep. If you're taking notes of Psalms chapter 4 and in verse 8, I'm just giving you a few of these. There's a multitude of these. In Psalms chapter 4 and in verse 8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. Again, that's a thought that we have in our text where we're at. Also in chapter 3, verse 5 of the book of Psalms, it says, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. So we have that promise even when we're asleep. In Proverbs chapter 6, the verse after is verse 22, but I want to back up for the context and begin reading in verse 20. Because he says, for my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, notice, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we see here, even as we sleep, the Lord has promised to be with us. So now Proverbs chapter 3 again. Proverbs chapter 3. Coming back to verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. So that's a promise that we have of the Lord. In other words, we're going to be free from distracting cares and fears that often haunt the unbeliever. In our time and our day, we love insurance. Well, insurance, most do, on their automobiles and life insurance and death insurance and insurance on their homes and a multitude of other type of insurance. Well, you and I as Christians, spiritually speaking, we have full coverage. We have full coverage. We're insured by the Lord. And that company is in New Jerusalem. In verse 25, another promise, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. We don't have to fear the desolation. That might be worded two ways or two meanings. The desolation of the wicked, that could be the threat and wrath of the wicked. Or when the desolations come up on the wicked, we have not to fear. And so, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3 says, let me make sure I get that correctly. We've just studied that recently. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 3, for when they, reference to the lost, speaking of the day of the Lord in this context, and the Lord coming as a thief in the night, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape. So this is the destruction coming upon the wicked. And the saints of God, again, the apostle says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, because that day will not overtake us as a thief in the night, but it will overtake the lost. Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon the woman. So he's talking about here in the book of Proverbs. He says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Sudden fear. That's anything terrible that comes out of nowhere. Just kind of unexpected. We've all seen it. We don't have to fear that. Unexpected evils are the most frightening of all. Because you should wonder, where did this come from? Why did this happen? You know. Another passage that you might want to write down would be Isaiah chapter 26. Now, I don't know about you, these are promises that I try to cling to. And these promises are pretty much the same in the Old and New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20 through 21, he says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed." He's talking to his people. He said, verse 21, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Now, this is in the same context, same chapter, of very familiar verses to all of us. In verses 1 through 4, he said, "In that day shall this song of praise, that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates." And this would probably be the return of the captivity. "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Then we have these words. I know some of you can quote this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So again, these are promises. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." Not if it cometh, but when it cometh. So again, sudden fears is unexpected evils, and then these are the most frightening of all. Now notice in verse 26. In verse 26, we'll close with this verse. He said, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence." And that's the reason I titled this, "Confidence and Safety." We have the word safety in verse 23. We have the word confidence here in verse 26. "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." This is our hope. The Lord shall be thy confidence. Psalms 46 verses 1 and 2. "The Lord is with us." It's another psalm that we sing. Psalms 46. He says in verse 2, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Also, we find in this text in verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." In verse 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." These are promises that we have of God. And God has given us His promises. I'm going to read or at least one verse. In Psalm 78, he speaks in verses 1 through 6 again about keeping the Word, keeping His commandments. And then he says about teaching them to your children. And he speaks about in verse 6, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Now here's the reason. Listen, verse 7. "That they might set their hope in God." That's the reason we cling to these things. We don't forget them. If you're going to forget anything, forget the things of the world. That's the things most people cling to. But he said, here's the reason that we're to believe this and cling to it and never let go of it and teach it to our children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Somebody said, "But a lot of commandments here in the Old Testament." A lot of commandments in the New Testament. And His commandments are not grievous. We have commandments in both Testaments. And Psalms 23:4 says that thou art with me. Most of you can quote that entire psalm. We sing it, and most of you don't even pick it up. I still look at it as I sing it. But it says in verse 4, yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here it is, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So God has promised to be with us. And we find that as Joseph was in Egypt, he knew that God was with him. As Daniel was in the lion's den, he was confident because he knew that God was with him. As the three Hebrew children and Daniel 3 was in the fiery furnace, they knew that God was with them. And they even said before they went in, their victory was that we are going to stand for truth. We're going to keep God's word and He's able to deliver us. But if He doesn't, we're still going to trust Him. So God was with Daniel in the lion's den. God was with Joseph in Egypt, even when he was in prison. And God was with the three Hebrew children in that fiery furnace. God's presence was there protecting them. When Moses and the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, it was Moses in Exodus 14, verse 13 through 14. It hadn't been that many months ago we preached a message on this. It was Moses that encouraged the children of Israel and said that God's going to be with us. Let us go. Let us go. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 24 through 25, when the children of Israel destroyed Jericho, we find that God had made a promise through the spies that Rahab would be saved, her and her family. She was saved because she trusted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the living God. So she was saved. Then Elisha in 2 Kings 6, verses 16 through 17, actually back up to verses 8 through about 17 or 18, and the Syrian army was coming up against Elisha. Because he had been giving away their secrets. He was telling the king of Israel what was taking place with this army. And he was, in other words, one of the men and the enemy's army, I'm trying to put it rightly. He was saying, well, what you speak in your bedchamber, Elisha's telling the king. And so he says, go get this man. So they go to get him. And the servant of Elijah was very frightened. And Elisha prayed and asked God to open his eyes so he could see the chariots that was protecting them. And they did protect them. So as we close here tonight, we can put our confidence and we can put our trust in the Lord that He will protect us and that He will keep us safe. In life, and when it comes to die, we will be ushered into His presence. Will you stand with me? Father, we do thank Thee tonight, Lord, for the confidence we can have in Thy Word, the safety that You give to us, and everyday life that we don't even realize most of the time, the safety that You've given us, even driving up and down the highway. Lord, we thank You for that. We pray that You'll make it more real to us through Thy Word, through Thy Spirit, and through the hymns that's been written over the centuries about this truth. Lord, we ask now for the blessings upon the remaining of this service, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.